Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Producing single rose like flowers continually from June to the first frost.
Hello, I'm Peter Seabrook, here to exchange the latest news, views, and a bit of timely advice on all matters gardening. Later on, I'll be speaking to George Hillier from that famous Hillier Nursery family. My thanks to our sponsor, Hayloft Nurseries. What a weekend's weather. My godfathers. I travelled up to Leeds on Saturday. And the cross winds and the rain, I tell you, got me moving in the wrong direction several times, and my heart goes out to those farmers and growers whose fields are swamped in water and polytunnels with the cover just blown to the four winds. When I got my spade out yesterday, then digging in my own garden, I found that water actually ran in the bottom of the trench. That's the first time that's happened this year. And from my point of view on the East Coast, that of course is a benefit. If we can get what we call full field capacity, the ground full of moisture, then in the dry parts of the country, then we're pretty well set for hot spells in June and July. Those people with gardens underwater, well, I tell you, my heart just goes out to you. Nothing you can do at all except leave well alone, keep off it and let the water sort of sink and drain through a bit, especially if it's heavy soil. The one thing we never do is to tread about on wet, heavy clay soil. It just consolidates it and makes life really difficult. Life goes on, of course, and in terms of news flashes, the Nash Gallery in Kew Gardens is hosting the 13th International Garden Photographer of the Year competition. You'll need to be quick because it ends there on the 7th of March. It moves then to other galleries across the UK and indeed in Ireland and Germany. If you can make it, you'll see some absolutely stunning works. Quite a number with three-dimensional quality. I hadn't realised that with digital cameras today, you can take a whole series of pictures almost at an instant so that you get sharpness in the depth of field from very close up right the way into the distance, and it makes the pictures have a sort of three-dimensional effect. There are really some quite remarkable pictures. If you can't make the exhibition, then there is a book. And if you go to the website www.igpoty.com, that's International Garden Photographer of the Year, then you can see all the details of both the exhibition and the pictures. I need to remind people too that the RHS apprenticeship applications close on the 1st of March. There are 16 spaces at Wisley, Hyde Hall, Harlow Carr, Rosemore, and the new garden at Bridgewater up in the northwest. So if you know of a young person that needs to be trained in horticulture, well then an apprenticeship at the RHS will really set you up. I was interested too to see a new tomato called Yoom. That's a funny name. Y-O-O-M. It got the top award at Fruit Logistica in Berlin recently and got the award for flavour, so I'll be looking forward to trying that. I also hear too that the City of London has given planning permission for the largest green wall in Europe. It's situated at 6165 Holborn Viaduct, and it'll cover 11 storeys with 3,700 square metres of green wall needing 400,000 plants. The developers claim it will absorb something like 9 tonnes of carbon dioxide and generate 7 tonnes of oxygen. I would also say it should clean the air a bit too, because once you get plants growing and a bit of condensation on the leaves, then dust particles stick to them and it would reduce pollution and, of course, absorbs sound. Yeah, things just keep going on. Let's get down to the basics of gardening. I've just been shaking the last compost from a begonia tuber, the variety Santa Cruz. Boy, does that produce a huge tuber. It's as much as I can lift. It must be a foot across and 9 inches deep. Now, if you go to the garden centres, of course, you'll see much smaller begonia tubers, and they need to be set into growth now. If I'm using the ordinary small ones, then I pop them in a polythene bag with some damp compost in the top of the airing cupboard. I need to look at them quite regularly, and then as soon as I can see the white root beginning to show through the compost and the pink or red new growth coming, then they're taken out and potted up and put on a really nice warm light windowsill to get well established. Now, if you are potting begonia tubers, what it's worth doing is to drop them down a bit. If once they've grown, you can put an inch of compost on the top, it will improve the anchorage. You know, it'll just hold those stiff stems upright, and you won't need to stake quite so often. So when you pot, make sure that they're down in the pot a bit so they can be covered with compost. I've also made a start on pruning roses. Usually I recommend the third week in March, but you know, it's been very mild this winter. Stuff is beginning to shoot and move, and if roses are pruned when the sap is really flowing, then they can bleed at the cuts and it will check the growth a little bit. So I think this year is a time to just be a week or two earlier. When it comes to the bush roses, you know, the large single bloom hybrid tea or the multi-flowered floribunda type roses, then I like to cut them hard. You know, if you prune back to about a foot, boy, that'll make them grow. The advice really needs to be tempered a little bit, because the harder you cut, the fewer stems you get with the better quality and larger blooms on those stems. If you prune lighter, so we're talking about 2 foot up, I suppose, then you get far more flowers, but they're not of such good quality. So what do? Prune really hard most years, and then just occasionally I'll give the bushes a break and let them grow. Mass flowering, but the individual blooms not quite so large. What's on? Well, half term family fun at most of the Royal Horticultural Society gardens. So if you're looking for something for youngsters to do and you're anywhere near one of those gardens, Rosemore down in the southwest, Hyde Hall in Essex, Wisley, Surrey, or Harlow Carr up in Yorkshire, then just check the weekends and take the family along. I think you'll find there'll be plenty for the young people to do.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
My guest this week is George Hillier. Now, most of us in the garden and horticultural world respect that name, Hillier, probably one of the most famous international tree shrub nurseries in the country. And George, you're the fifth generation Hillier. What's it like to have the responsibility of that dynasty, you know, quite a family to continue?
Yeah, well, it's I'd be lying if I said I'd never felt any pressure. But at the same time, I think, you know, with the history and the legacy and the everything that's gone before, it's really very exciting, and I'm enormously proud to be part of a family business which has done so much in terms of keeping and looking after green spaces in our country and throughout the world. So sometimes you do feel the pressure, and you certainly don't want things to go wrong on your watch, but it's really, I see it as a massive positive.
Yeah,
you know, and to be part of a fifth generation, family businesses don't always last that long. We're all still very much involved and very passionate about this business that we're involved in.
I mean, obviously, I know your dad, Robert, and your uncle, John. I mean, both of them have a phenomenal plant knowledge. That's sort of something to live up to.
Yes.
But the company is so big now in terms of garden centres, nurseries, specimen trees. Presumably, there are jobs for your six fellow members of the family. You know, it can be sort of spread out.
We're not all involved in the business directly, but yeah, the business has come on an awful lot. Certainly in the last 10 years. And I suppose realistically, retail, the garden centre side of the business, probably makes up 85% of our turnover. So it's certainly the lion's share. But actually, we're still very passionate about growing. We grow the widest range and best quality trees and shrubs in the UK, which is absolutely brilliant. And I think as people become more and more aware of the environmental issues that we face, that side and the growing side of our business will become more and more important. You know, we as a business, Peter, are producing 35,000 new trees a year.
Fantastic news.
Yeah. And when you think about that in the context of carbon sequestration, everybody is becoming very aware of just how important that is. And so, you know, I'm enormously proud as a family member to be associated with that. But everybody has to do more. We have to do more. The local authorities have to do more. We have to plant more trees. It's as simple as that.
And George, where is your specific day-to-day interest? Are you actively involved in garden centres or in the specimen trees? Where's your...
So I was slightly the black sheep of the family, I suppose, because I was always interested in the retail side of the business, where traditionally family members have tended to be on the growing side or on the selling the trees side, whereas I was always very passionate about retail. And I remember, I think I was probably about 15 or certainly 16 years old when I first started in the garden centres, and I started as a as a what we called a trolley boy. So I was literally somebody that would collect the trolleys from the car park and then stack them ready for customers to come and use, or help loading heavy goods, compost, all the rest of it.
But George, don't you think that's a wonderful training ground? I remember old Mr. Fenwick with the garden centres in Colchester and Ipswich. On a Saturday and Sunday, he used to be the barrow boy helping the customers, because he would greet them on the way in, and he would also hear all of the grumbles or the praise on the way out. I mean, it's a great place to understand people, isn't it?
It is. It's a great place to really understand what drives our customers to come in and what they're looking for and the sort of experience that they're looking for when they come to the garden centre. Because as you're right, as you're loading compost in the car or answering questions, you will hear the feedback from people who are either just arriving or people who are just leaving. So it is the perfect training ground for the beginning of a career in horticultural retail. But yeah, so I did that first, and then when I started work full time, I was in the garden centres, and I sort of worked my way up to garden centre manager. And then ultimately, after having some experience outside our family business as well, I ended up coming back to the business, and in my current role as director of property, I'm involved in all the departments across our business, in all aspects to do with property and business development, right down to some of the more basic stuff like building maintenance and contracts and franchises and things like that. But it's a really fantastic role. I really enjoy the role that I currently have. I get involved in many aspects of what we do. And as a member of the board, obviously I'm actively involved in the most senior level of decision making for the business. So it's been great fun, a great journey, and we've come a long way, but there's still a lot more we'd like to do, Peter.
But yeah, well, I've got here in front of me a page torn from the RHS Garden magazine dated April 2014, with a picture of the first shop of Hilliers way back in the 1880s. So in some ways, you're in the footsteps of the pioneer member of the family, a really lovely old shop which says Nursery, Seed, Hilliers and Floral Depot, 95 Jury. Now, you're going to reproduce something like this, aren't you, at the Chelsea Flower Show?
Yeah, so this year, Peter, is obviously a really important year for us. We currently have 74 consecutive gold medals at the Chelsea Flower Show, and we'd really love to make that 75. So we are going all out this year at Chelsea, and we decided that actually the best way to do that was to show some of the history of the business, and what better way than to recreate one of those original shop fronts. I know exactly the shot you're talking about. I can see it in my mind's eye, and it's a fantastic picture, and it shows what our business was when we first set out.
Well, now looking at that picture, there's one of the shop assistants standing at the door.
Yeah.
With a waistcoat and a really big apron.
Yeah.
And so, George, I expect to see you at Chelsea appropriately dressed.
Well, I certainly will, but I can't promise it will be the original apron, but we'll certainly have something very similar to it.
And at Chelsea, you'll be back on what I always saw as the Hillier site at the monument. You'll be building around the monument again?
Yeah, we will. And, you know, this is going to be, I think, this is going to be the biggest display we've ever had. That's really exciting in itself. Well, if you go way back, if you go right back to the beginning, it used to be that plant growers and tree growers would have a roped off area at Chelsea, and they'd drive up, they'd bring their van, they unload their goods, they'd stand there with an order book and take orders. And that was pretty much how Chelsea began. But certainly now, and in the modern Chelsea Flower Show, it is literally about inspiring people to enjoy gardening and to enjoy making the most of the green living space that they have. And Chelsea has become more and more about that. So what we're producing now is very much a garden that inspires people to just enjoy their gardens and enjoy plants and to see how they work together to create special places that you can use for entertainment, for relaxing, for mindfulness, you know, all those things that are so important to us in our modern and very busy lives. To take time and to spend time in the garden is becoming really, really important. And that's part of what Chelsea is all about too. But yeah, Peter, you're right. It's going to be a big display this year, and we are around the monument. We're going to have loads of trees in there. And that's always one of the favourite parts about Chelsea, and seeing how the public react, you know, because they come in and they look at these huge trees that we've put up, and they think, surely they haven't just brought that in and it's here in some sort of a pot. But we cleverly disguise all that so that it becomes part of the garden. And part of our objective is to create a garden that looks like it's been there and developed there over years and years and years, not the 6 weeks or 8 weeks that actually we've taken to put the whole thing together.
Could you give some advice for those people who are going to Chelsea for the first time? I mean, is there a good time to come and look at your exhibit? If they want advice, what's the best thing to do?
Well, do you know what? Actually, we involve all our staff at Chelsea, and we give everybody the opportunity to go up and help us to man the stand. So that would mean we've got experts from every part of our business, but we have them positioned at stations all the way around the stand, because as you say, it's quite big. But we always make sure that we've got people on hand there to answer people's questions, because we get lots of questions. Most of them are about horticulture, not all of them, but most of them are. But we actually make sure that we've got people there that can answer questions.
It's always sensible to take a notebook and pen, isn't it?
It is. And you know what? Actually, now that's really important. But these days as well, so is making sure you've got plenty of charge in your phone so that you can take pictures. And we always make sure that everything's labelled correctly on our stands, so that we can people can get pictures of plants and then make sure that they've got the right variety and specimen as well, so that they can take that away and recreate something that they've seen at Chelsea in their own gardens. But yeah,
I'm all for the mobile phone to photograph the plant and to photograph the label. But I think some people take so many pictures that they don't see the show.
Don't you think
it's important to actually...
You do sometimes see people who spend the entire thing behind a lens, and then obviously they've got a lot of good pictures, but what you've got to do is make sure that you get your head up and enjoy what's around you, because it's a really... I mean, the Chelsea Flower Show is the best flower show in the world, and what you see there is breathtaking and inspiring, and you've got to make sure that you take your opportunity while you're there to enjoy it. Oh, and I've got another tip, Peter, and this is a top tip, and that's footwear. choose your footwear wisely, because you will have quite a fair bit of acreage to cover, and if you've gone for style over substance, you might find it quite uncomfortable.
George, meeting the great British public's always fun. What's the best question you've been asked and the worst?
That's an easy one to answer, Peter. So I think the best question, and the one that we all... It seems to come up almost every year, but we always have a little chuckle about it. And that's because in the pavilion, where we're putting these really quite mature trees in, and you've got all this wonderful flora and fauna from really all around the world, you quite often get visitors in the form of birds. And there will always be a pigeon or a blackbird that will come in. And because it's quite nice and warm, and there's something about the environment in there, obviously it's a very natural environment, and the birds quite often like to sing. they get themselves up in a nice big tree somewhere near the warmth that's coming through from the pavilion, and they sing. And quite often, members of the public will say, A, is it real? And B, have you put it there deliberately or taught it to sing? And we always have a bit of a chuckle about that one. And the worst question we get asked is always, and it's probably every other question, which is, lovely garden, but can you tell me where the toilets are, please? Which is one we get an awful lot as well. Yeah. Perhaps a little bit too much Pimm's.
And then what about the new plants? Hillias always have new plants. What should the visitor be looking for that is new and a good topic of conversation?
We've got some really exciting new plants for the show this year, Peter. I'm not going to reveal what they are today because we're going to do that as an exclusive on our press launch for Chelsea, which I know you're coming to.
Well, I hear rumours of an Agapanthus. George, come on now.
All I can say is we've got some really exciting plants, Peter, and I'm really looking forward to making sure that they get out there. And make sure, if you're going to the show, make sure that you have a look at the RH stand with all the new plants on, because, you know, everybody will be bringing some new plants. And every year it's a really exciting part of the show, so make sure you get to see it.
Well, we'll be submitting 5 new plants, George, so there'll be some strong competition with you, you know, whilst I wish you every success. That is qualified a little bit.
Yes. No, I know. And you know what? It's great. It's great. You know, one of the things I really love about this industry is there is competition, and we often go toe to toe with our competitors. But there's something unique about this industry and the way that we work with other organisations within it. And that's that we all have an understanding that at the end of the day, we're friends, we're colleagues, and we share and we learn from each other. And that I think is quite unique to our industry.
I would agree. Don't you think that we fight the weather together?
Yeah, we do.
Because if the weather goes against us, we're all in trouble, aren't we?
That is definitely enemy number one.
Finally, George, you have. Is it 12 garden centres now?
We have 17.
17 garden centres. And for those people who are not able to get to the Chelsea Flower Show, will some of those new plants that you're launching and some of the other things that you will have on display, will the ordinary gardener be able to see those?
Definitely. So every garden centre that we have, all 17 sites, will have within them a very comprehensive display in the build-up and during the Chelsea period, showing people a taste of what we've actually got at the show. And that will include all our new plant launches. So if you can't get to the show and you want to have a look at what a part of the display will look like, go to any of our garden centres and speak to our staff, and they'll be really happy to show you what we've done.
George, thank you very much for joining us today. Look forward to seeing you on the nursery for the press preview.
Yes.
And much more toe-to-toe at Chelsea in the Great Pavilion.
Yes.
I wish you another gold.
And
with that, we might get a silver or a silver gilt, you know, who knows?
No, I wish you all the best. And thanks ever so much for the chat, Peter. All the best.
It's reassuring to hear from people who are listening to the podcast. And this week, I went to Grange Nurseries at Battlesbridge, and there are two ladies there at reception who apparently listen regularly and quite like the tone of my voice. Actually, another person I met listens at night and finds that it's a very good way to fall asleep, so my voice must be somewhat soporific. I rather hope that you're not going to sleep as you're listening to this today. I do thank, however, our sponsor, Hayloft Nurseries, and my producer, Rich Jarman. And, of course, you for listening. And if you're just nodding off, Sweet Dreams.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.